things have caught up with him, and he, in an attempt to save his life, makes a deal with this criminal boss that he's working for to go from Chicago, where they live now, and move his operation down to the Lake of the Ozarks, which is this rural vacation spot. There's a lot of soft money there where people spend a lot of money on beer and boats, so he figures that would be a good place to continue money laundering. Goes down there and he finds that he's made a big miscalculation, that although he's a guy from the big city, he can't really manipulate these country folk. And there are religious zealots and crystal meth abusers and biker gangs and all kinds of people that just play with a different set of rules that he just doesn't have much of a fix for.
Lots of people think of you primarily as a comedy act after seeing things like Arrested Development and films like Horrible Bosses. This is so threatening, and yet your character is that really rather amiable, ordinary dad who's finding his family, trying to save them in this kind of drug lord world. What drew you to playing him, and the fact that he is kind of like other characters you've played?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't try to work too hard as an actor. That's my strategy. I try to pick these characters that are pretty close to the middle, which is the kind of fella I am. I'm not terribly exciting. So I like to play characters that, if they're funny, they're funny because they're reacting to the funny people. If they're dramatic, they're dramatic because they're reacting to a dangerous person. I like to be the audience, the straight man, the middleman, the everyday guy, because I really enjoy being that sort of proxy, that tour guide for the audience. And it's what has drawn me to directing. So this project, when I read the first two scripts, was so compelling, I wanted to try to shape this whole experience for an audience. And I knew that there's an important sort of filmic component to that. There was an important musical component to that, production design, and all these things that a director sort of oversees, as opposed to if you were just acting in something, you sit in your dressing room and wait until they knock on the door and say, okay, it's time to come out and talk now.
But it's really interesting what you say, because, of course, the character of Marty is entirely in control. He's got to work out what to do next. He's attempting something huge. And so there's a kind of parallel in directing it as well as being that character.
Yeah, he's trying to control this situation, and he's trying to end the show. He's not interested in having 10 episodes. He's interested in having one. He wants to fix it. And he thinks that he has, but the person he delivers the accomplishment to says, no, I would like for you to go a step further.
Marty, stop. We have to call the police.
I want you to forget it, okay? Or do you want to just role play it? Okay? I'm detective, and you're the wife of the top money launderer for the second largest drug cartel in Mexico. Go.
Policeman jail time or witness protection program, the best if we even get that far.
If we make it that far, the kids and I are in danger.
What do you want to hear? You know, people who drive trucks full of cash onto scales to weigh it because there's too much to count. They don't exactly have a code of ethics that they adhere to. We're not going to the police.
There is a great scene where Marty walks in on his 12-year-old son, who he thinks is watching porn. In fact, he's been researching, you know, the drug boss his dad is now working for, and watching horrific news footage of massacres.
To sort of reference that scene there, that's particularly interesting to me, having grown up in such an atypical family.
And we should say a family where your father was a director, producer, and you and your sister were actors.
Yeah, and my parents ended up managing us. And so what that did was it adjusted the typical parental child dynamic, where there's this deference that a child pays to a parent. What it did was it sort of flattened everything out, and we became peers. You know, I was 10. So a little bit of that exists in this show, in that Marty and my wife Wendy, we end up exposing to our children what situation we are in. I'm laundering money for a Mexican drug cartel, and that's why we've had to relocate, and we're all in a lot of danger. It's important for you to know this so that you kind of mind it when you're at school or when you're in a social situation, and be careful of what you say or who you talk to. And they're forced to grow up very quickly, and there's some resentment there. And that's an interesting sort of domestic thread that the show takes on, but really the sort of pounding, thumping, compelling narrative that I like to follow in it. Of course, I'm a caveman. I'm following the money and the gun and the whole danger. People like my wife, who was like, well, I'm really interested in sort of that domestic thing, how it's affecting your daughter and your wife and the stress.
Yeah, which is really fascinating, the way that you and your wife are drawn back together.
I don't mean to make a sexist generalization there, but by virtue of it being 10 episodes long as opposed to just a two-hour movie, you can cover many different areas of interest with this one story.
You're not holding anything back for a series two.
That's correct. Yeah, I was really emphatic when we kind of pulled the writer room together that we don't set up things in that typical television way where one establishes some characters that might really flourish in season three or four. And, oh, these two characters might be interested if they hook up, you know, at the end of season two. And I don't like that they assume that we're going to be with you for another 2 or 3 years. I wanted them to treat it as a 10-chapter film. And if we're lucky enough to get enough viewers to warrant a sequel, like a film, then we're going to have to come up with a whole new story.
You, as you mentioned, were a child star originally, appearing in shows like Little House on the Prairie and sitcoms like Silver Spoons. How has that shaped you now?
It's given me a great opportunity to absorb a lot. For me, it was more interesting to pursue directing. I like to try to make the process better because I've just learned a whole lot as opposed to sticking with the acting.
I thought you were going to say it was something to do with being a survivor as well, because you'd been the kind of the teen pinup and, you know, you'd had your wild 20s and actually still being that.
It's tough to stay employed in this business. You're still just a job or two away from starting all over again. It doesn't matter how big a star you are. What about your next film? If that one tanks, you'll probably get another one. But if that one tanks as well, you've got to start rethinking things.
But TV is completely different. And so a show like Arrested Development did get cancelled but has been picked up by Netflix. What do you make of how that show has affected your career?
It put paddles on my chest. I mean, it restarted me. You know, I was still working, but not a ton. I mean, I was still barely making a living. And then I was lucky enough to get that show. And specifically, that show appealed to those who give out jobs in Hollywood. People in the middle of our country didn't really watch it a lot, but the people on both coasts did. And so when it went away, I was now available and liked by those who were running the entertainment industry. So I got more work.
Now the story of a wealthy family who lost everything and the one son who had no choice but to keep them all together.
I found something that really spoke to what I think I do best. I'm not sure I'm the one who's a clown, but one that gets kind of shot with the squirting flower. You know?
Excellent.
It's Arrested Development.